I'm very privileged to be able to speak to you this morning, and this message is very something dear to my heart, and I am also very nervous, so please pray for me as I speak, but also that God would really reveal what it is that he wants to speak through me today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful Sabbath day. Please be with me as I speak, that your words may be given and not my own. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So evolution says that we all came from monkeys. Did you know that you are all monkeys? I'm actually a monkey too, and here's why. You know, back then, hunters, whenever they wanted to capture a monkey, what they would do is they would actually get a coconut and scrape out all the insides of the coconut, and they would put some food in there or like a fruit in there that would attract monkeys. And they would leave a small hole just enough for the monkey's hand to reach in, but not big enough for the hand to come out. And they would chain it to like a tree or something that, you know, stood still. And once the monkey grabbed the coconut and, you know, grabbed what was inside, it wouldn't want to let go. Because it wanted the food inside. And by that time, you know, when the monkey figured out that that food is not coming out of that coconut, by that time, the hunter would already have caught in the monkey. Why didn't the monkey let go of the food? Or why didn't he let go of his hand? He wanted the food, right? And what's similar between us and monkeys is that there are things that we're not willing to let go even though we may put ourselves in danger. And today I want to talk about sin. Sin is a problem. And I didn't understand how much sin can affect you, but it not only affects you, but it also affects others and it hurts God. Let's read back to Adam and Eve's time. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Starting in verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron." Eve saw that this fruit was first good for food. It looked delicious. It was pleasant to the eyes, and it was to make a person wise. These all seemed good, right? You know, that's something that we would want to desire. But little did they know that by that choice, it would change the whole aspect of their lives. And they saw that once they sinned, once they disobeyed God, they were naked and they tried hiding themselves. And in everything, they lost a perfect life and everything included in it. You know, no more playing with lions, or no more, you know, being scared of, you know, maybe animals attacking you, or, you know, they lived a blissful life. And they also lost direct communion with God. And that's what sin did. It also affects others. And let's go ahead and read down to verse 24 in that same chapter, Genesis 3:24. And it said, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Because of what they had done, you know, they sinned. Not only were they affected, but as they were driven out, all of humankind was affected. When I was little, I thought it would be a really good idea to pour baby oil all over the floor. And so I grabbed the baby oil from my mom's bathroom and I just poured it all over the floor. And I started getting my hands and really smearing it all over the floor with my feet. And my whole body was just covered with baby oil. And I was like laying on it and just, you know, smearing it everywhere around. And I would like slide on the floor and, you know, because it was slippery. And it was just so fun. And then all of a sudden, I hear my grandpa say, "Leah! And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be in big trouble. And I think I don't think I was even in elementary school at this point, so mind that. And I was just hiding away from my grandpa, and he barely speaks English. He just came from the Philippines around this time. And he was so kind. He always washed our dishes. He made sure that I was taken care of. He made sure that I was also having fun. He made sure that I was fed. And he cleaned the house. And, you know, as I was just hiding, you know, like, all I was thinking was, I'm going to be in so much trouble. And all I hear is a thump on the ground. And I look back and I see him holding, putting his hand on his head, and he's just walking to the kitchen. And I'm like, oh no, what happened? And then I see blood on the floor. And what happened was he got a big cut on his head. And my mom had to take him to urgent care, to the ER, and he had to get stitches. And as a little kid, you know, I was just trying to have fun with all this baby oil that I had. But I didn't know that it would hurt him. And it wasn't the fact, later on I felt, you know, really, really bad. And it wasn't because I was, you know, in trouble and I was going to hear it from my mom. And who knows what my mom was thinking when she walked in the door with baby oil all over the floor. But it was because I hurt my grandpa. And he didn't deserve it. He was so nice to me. And that's also what happens when we sin. Not only does it hurt others, the people that we love, but it also hurts Jesus. And let's go to Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 3, still in the same chapter, verse 4 and 5, and it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan misrepresented who God was. Satan was telling Adam and Eve, oh, you know, God said that you would die, but you won't die. And he said that, you know, he's just trying to hide all this knowledge from you. But if you think about it, all that was good existed already in the Garden of Eden. And so the only result that would come out of sin was evil. And I just wonder how God felt, because he was framed. Satan misrepresented who God was to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve believed him. And they not only did they believe Satan, but after they sinned, they started blaming each other and blamed God. And, you know, one thing that sin does is not only does it hurt Jesus, but it does something else. And let's turn to Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. And it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Sin separated God from who he loved, and that was Adam and Eve, but also you. How do you think God must have felt? All the things that he had created, you know, from day one all the way to the Sabbath, he created not for himself, but for man. God had seen his creation leave him, and he must have felt so sad. You know, all these things he did for them, and now, because of what they did with sin, they had to be separated from him. And yes, God had everything. He had the angels, he had, you know, he lived in heaven, a perfect world, but at this moment, he did not have Adam and Eve. And he loved them so much. I did not really grow up in a strong Adventist background. My mom was not Adventist, actually, when growing up. And my dad was backslidden. And so, you know, we ate everything. Bacon was probably one of my favorite things to eat back then. Don't eat it. It's not good for you. And all I remember was just going to church on Sabbath. That's all I could remember. But after Sabbath, you know, after church, we would just, you know, do our own thing. And we did whatever we wanted. I also wasn't super close with my own family because they weren't really Christians. There was this one decision that my dad did that I think was the best decision that he ever made. You know, we moved to a new house. I moved to a new school where none of my friends were there. We also moved to a new church. And that was a church that I thought was that was like the most boring church ever. I would sleep, you know, during the church service. And I was so angry at my dad. Dad, why did you bring us here? You know, I'm just going to sleep. What's the use of it? And little did I know that my dad had his own search experience with God. And it was actually through going through that church where I started reading the Bible more and more. I was really involved with Pathfinders. I eventually became a teen counselor. That's kind of when you watch all the little ones. But also you take more leadership roles in the Pathfinder Club. I was also a youth director at my home church. And I spoke very often. I obeyed my parents, I think, pretty well. I never drank. I never did drugs. But all of a sudden, after being so involved with the church, I felt so empty. I was miserable and exhausted, and I even had suicidal thoughts. And in that moment, it just really didn't make sense in my mind. How come I'm doing all these great things for God, and yet I feel so empty? There's something missing. It just did not make sense. And I felt that living a life for God was empty. And so in my mind, there was no use of continuing. In my mind, it just, you know, why should I do these things for God if I just am left empty? Why did I feel so empty? And let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I want to make a point to you that sin is a problem. Sometimes we take it so lightly, but it wasn't until more and more, and even now, that I realized the results of what sin does to a person and to the whole world. But why did I feel so empty at this moment when I was doing all these great things, you know, so and so for God? Hebrews 12:1, and it says, it was our scripture reading this morning, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It's interesting how in this verse it says that we are in the witnesses of a lot of, not just the world, but, you know, of God and the angels. But it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. At this moment, I was not really loving God the way I should. I was trying to fill myself with good things, but I was not laying aside the sin that I had in my heart. And sin is not just, you know, bad things. It could be things that is just holding us back from God. Is there something that's holding you back from God? And so after I was thinking all these, you know, suicidal thoughts, and I was just very negative. I didn't care about my family. I didn't care about my grades. I didn't care about my friends. I just wanted to be done. But I found a solution. Do you guys want to know what that solution is? Let's turn to Hebrews 12:2. Verse 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." What is the solution? Who does it say to look to? To Jesus. And what did he go through? It says in the Bible that he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and was willing to come down to earth. He was willing to not be next to God, but to be next to these sinful human beings. And it's interesting because as you look at that, Jesus actually went through what Adam and Eve went through. Adam and Eve went through shame, right? They were naked and they had to clothe themselves because they felt so shameful for what they had done. They no longer lived in a perfect world, and they were separated from God. No more communion with him. No more direct communion with him, I should say. And that's what Jesus went through. He felt even a more worse shame. He was despised by a whole community. Can you imagine all of Fallbrook gaining up on you? It's not too big, but that's still a lot of people. Jesus no longer lived in a perfect world either. He lived in a world full of sinners. And he too felt separated from God on Calvary. Not only did he feel separated from God, but all of his disciples left him. He died alone on that cross. And yet, Jesus was willing to go through the very same things that sin caused in order for you not to go through the painful end results of sin. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was willing to go through the very same things that sin caused so that you wouldn't have to go through them. He took what we were supposed to get, and in return, he gave us what he had, which was eternal life. I think about it, and as my, and it's interesting because let's go back to verse 2. Why did Jesus do this? It says in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him. There was joy when Jesus was doing all these things because he wasn't thinking of himself. All he could think of was you. That by doing these things, we would have a chance at eternal life. And that's what I found. I went to this place called Youth for Jesus. And Youth for Jesus is pretty much a program where you get to be involved in evangelistic series. And at that time, I didn't even know I was involved in an evangelistic series, and who knew that I would even be involved in evangelistic series now? And little did I know is that through all that time that I was feeling so negative and wanting to end my life, I was actually reading Steps to Christ. And it would just be there on my nightstand, and whenever I felt down, I would actually read it. And the times that I would read it, I would just cry. And so before going to Youth for Jesus that summer, and this was actually something that we had planned for more than a year, I told God this, and I still remember what I prayed for. I said, God, if you are real, you need to show me who you are, because I don't know who you are. All this time I thought I did, but I didn't. And God, I need to see your love for me. I gave him an ultimatum. I told him, God, if I don't see these things this summer, that's it for me. I'm done. And I was very serious about it. But throughout that summer, God showed me his love. You guys want to know what verse that helped me to know his love more? Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. During the time for Youth for Jesus, we would have worships and Bible classes. And during those times, we would read the Bible pretty much. And this was the very verse that hit me. I remember sitting in that room, and when reading this verse, I like froze. Because I didn't understand who God was until he showed me this verse. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. All this time, I was filling my thoughts with who I thought God was. I thought God was, you know, different. Or I thought God was kind of looking at my sins and, you know, the work that I had done would help him to love me more. But all this time he said, Leah, I don't think evil of you. I think peace of you. And in my mind, I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. I was putting words in God's mouth. The reason why I felt so low was because I was filling my mind with how I thought God thought of me and the lies that I believed from the devil. And for the first time in my life, I really felt loved from God. It was understanding who He is that helped me to fall more in love with God. And as I started reading more and eating up, I realized, wow, God didn't just die for like godly people. He died for the ungodly people. He knew that we were sinners, and yet He still chose to die. And as I was going more and feeling more sorry for, as before when I felt really sorry for myself beforehand, I used to think that, why should I even live, because I'm going to keep on sinning and it's going to hurt God even more. Why do that to Him? He doesn't deserve it. And He brought me to the verses in 1 John 1:9 where it says, you know, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thought, wow, He's faithful to forgive me? So does that mean that when I ask God for forgiveness, He's ready to forgive me? That was such a strange idea in my head, because, you know, we're so used to here on earth, like if we hurt someone, you know, we're kind of expecting to get hurt back. You know, that's kind of our human nature. But God is ready to forgive you for anything that you've done, as long as we confess with a genuine heart. And all these new truths started making sense. I'm like, wow, God, if I'm wrong about this, then I must be wrong about a lot of other stuff. And that's when I started learning more and more. And on August 4, 2012, I decided to be rebaptized. I got rebaptized in Texas. My parents were actually not able to be there. And it was so cool because I got baptized along with about 100 people that night. I think it was like 11 o'clock and they were still doing baptisms. It was really, really powerful. And as I started reading more and more of the Bible, I started loving God more and more because I saw how much He had done for me. And I started to have deeper and deeper experiences with God after that. And I realized Jesus didn't sacrifice His life in order for you to love Him. He did it because He loves you, knowing very well that you might not love Him back. Why would you love someone if there's any chance that they might not love you back? I mean, I think about relationships nowadays, like, oh man, like, hey, I'm gonna date this person that doesn't love me. Like, people think you're crazy. And that's what Jesus did. He was crazy for you. And so how do we love God? We need to fill our hearts with Jesus. And let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. How do we love God? And it's by filling our hearts with Jesus. But how do we fill our hearts with Jesus? Hebrews 12, verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 3. It says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We are to consider the one who gave His life for you, for me. And as you look to what God has done for you, you start to fall in love with Him. It's just like in every relationship. You know, for me, I've been really blessed with this new relationship that I have with Jared. And it's interesting because before we even got together, I just knew that he was kind of different. He started doing a lot of nice things for me, and even though I didn't ask for it, and he would go well beyond, you know, what I would ask for if I needed help. He would really go the extra mile for me, and he didn't just do that for me. He actually did it with, you know, all of his close friends, and as I saw that, I was like, wow, this guy's really cool. And also, he was very persistent. He would not let go of making sure that I was in his mind. But also, too, there's this beautiful quote from Desire of Ages that says, "As you look, but the gift of Christ reveals the Father's heart. It testifies that the thoughts of God toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. It declares, and listen to this, it declares that while God's hatred of sin is as strong as death, his love for the sinner is stronger than death. God's love for you is stronger than sin. And even though sin is a problem, God's solution of Jesus is the solution and is stronger than the problem. And how do we continue to fill our hearts with Jesus? Well, we need to fill our hearts with who he is, just like as we get to know a person. And what better way to know who he is than by reading the Bible? You know, as I read the Bible, it's interesting how vulnerable God is to us. He shares with us the rejections that he's had with his people. He's shared with us the victories that he's had with change of hearts. And he also shares with us beautiful promises that help us to keep on going. And Leah, what if my heart right now, what if I don't know God? What if I don't really love him right now? Well, let's go to Jeremiah 24:7. So Jeremiah 24:7. And this is one of my favorite verses and one of my favorite scripture songs. Jeremiah 24:7. And it says, "And I will give them a heart to know me, and that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." God can give you a heart to know him. And he promises us that when we learn of him more and more, we will be able to return to him with our whole heart. And if you think about it, in the Garden of Eden, you know, Adam and Eve belonged to God. That was his those were his precious children. And ever since sin entered this world, they were consumed by sin. And so, God, all this time, and what you will see throughout the Bible as a theme, is God trying to get you back to him. To restore you to what he had for you since the beginning. A place of good, a place of no worries, a place where he can be with you. And ever since I really committed myself to God, I had nothing but deeper and deeper experiences with him. And I found, after pretty much that I got baptized, rebaptized, I went to college. And I went to a secular college. I did architecture at Cal State Poly Pomona for a year. And it was very intense because that major, you just kind of eat and work. No sleeping. but during that time, I remember thinking, okay, Leah, this is going to be the time where you really have to express who your God is. And I remember thinking, as an example, okay, I'm going to start praying in public for my food. And I remember the new friends that I just made at the college. We went out to lunch, and I was sitting down with my food. Everyone had their food, and they started eating. And I was like, okay, Leah, like, this is it. You need to pray. I'm like, oh, but they're right there. They're, like, literally sitting, like, right this distance away from me. And I was just trying to get myself to pray. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I bowed. I closed my eyes, and I bowed. I prayed, said amen. I look up, and they're, like, looking at me. And they're like, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I just prayed for my food. And then I just ate my food. And they're like, oh. And then it got kind of quiet and awkward. But then it carried on. And so after that experience, I'm like, wow, I can pray for my food now. And it was just time and time again that year where God was just really working miracles in my life, even on a secular campus. And being able to just go against the current was definitely a great experience. But afterwards, God had really impressed upon me to move deeper in my relationship with him. And you see, what happened was that one of my best friends, who she actually, from my home church, she actually came with me to go to Youth for Jesus. And so all these things that I was experiencing, she was there too. But at the end, she actually left the church. And in my mind, she was one of my closest friends. And she, I could not imagine the chance of going to heaven and not seeing her there. I could not fathom it, and that just really killed me throughout the year, and I thought, wow, it's not only her that's going through that. It's a lot of other people that are going through that. And I decided to be more evangelistic after that year, and I actually stopped going to that school, and I went canvassing that summer. And I'll tell you, canvassing has been one of the best experiences for me with having a deeper walk with God. And seeing my real need for Jesus, because that's what we really need, is Jesus. And as I go door to door, you could see it on their faces, that there's something missing, and there's something that people want that is real. And they don't know, but some of them don't know, but that real thing is Jesus. And just to tell you a few of my experiences, I remember meeting this one lady. And she was about to close her door on me, and I gave her a Steps to Christ. And she read on the back, and she said, "Are you Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she opened the door, and she started just talking about how she needs help with just understanding God's will. And I said, "Okay." And then after our conversation, she said, "You know, financially wise, I really can't help out." And I'm like, "No worries. You know, the least thing that I could do is pray for you." And so I prayed with her, and after we were done praying, she said, "Hold on, I have something for you." And it was dark by this time, and so I was left alone there in the dark. But she went upstairs, and she came back, and she handed me a check for more than $100, just for that little book. And I was just dumbfounded. I'm like, "Why?" And she said, "God told me to give this to you." There was another experience of another lady. I parked right in front of her house, and I was doing Big Books. And Big Books is pretty much selling the Big Arthur set, or Big Arthur, or sorry, Uncle Arthur's bedtime stories, and the Blue Bible stories. And they're like really thick, right? And I parked right in front of her house, and her son came in, and it was just totally awkward. They were looking at me, trying to wonder, like, who is this person? And my friend was like, "Okay, Leah, you need to go knock on her door and tell you what you're doing. You just put yourself in an awkward situation." I'm like, "Okay." So I knocked on her door, and I said, "You're probably wondering why I parked outside of your house or why I'm here, and this is what we're doing." Turns out she was Christian, too, and she invited me in. I did the whole presentation, and as I was telling her the price for all of the books, she said, "I'll take them all." And mind you, that was more than $600 worth of books. But what surprised me the most was that after she said that I would take them all, she started crying. And she said that, "I feel like such a terrible mom. I'm a single mother trying to raise two boys, and I have no spiritual foundation in my home. I need these books." And I just left that house like, "Wow, God, that was totally you." And as I was giving her a thank you card the next day, she told me, "You know, it's so crazy. I actually got a check in the mail, random check. And it's not for the full amount of the books, but it's just what I needed to pay off the books." And what I found out was that she was actually also going through financial struggles too. And so it was just like, wow, God was just really putting himself out there and showing me that he's working. And from what we've been learning today, there is a real need, and that need is Jesus. We have seen how sin is a problem in our life and how we can't overcome it by ourselves, but we need God to overcome it. And also lastly, in order to maintain that relationship with God, we need to fill our hearts with him. The only solution to this problem of sin is filling your heart with him. And You know, I'll have this, just before I say my last story, I want to say that God loves each and every one of you so much. And over the years, I've just seen how much he has loved me, and I know how much he loves you. And I probably can't even, you know, share in words how much he loves you. And he wants your whole heart, not just a piece of it, but your whole heart. And so my last story, I hate washing dishes. I don't like them, but now I do, and I'll tell you why. When being at my home, whenever my mom would always say, "Leah, can you wash the dishes, please?" And I said, like, "Okay, Mom, I'll wash the dishes, and, you know, I'll do them." But I eventually get to them, like, I'll save them at the end of the night, because as I look at them throughout the day, I don't want to wash them. I just don't feel like it. And one time, as I was about to go wash the dishes, I saw my mom knocked out on the couch. And then I see in the sink that there was no dishes. And I realized that my mom had washed the dishes. And it hit me at that very moment that, wow, she must be so tired. And she washed the dishes still. I told her that I would wash them, but she still washed them. And I was thinking, you know, my mom has worked so hard for me, my sister, and my family. She's always had 3 jobs throughout, you know, her life. She came to this country by herself, you know, illegally. She is a permanent resident now. But she worked so hard. And as I saw her just sleeping on the couch, I thought, what? Like, I'm such a bad kid. I thought the least that I could do for her is just wash the dishes. And when I just realized how much my parents love me, how can I not love them back? And when you see how much God loves you, how can you not love him back? A lot of us are tired in this world of sin. And I know for me, something that I really hated was just falling into temptation over and over again. And how many of you are tired of falling into sin? You know, some of us, we see how sin has moved us far from God and have been needing to get back to him. Do you want to return to God? Do you want to give him your whole heart? And for some of us, you know, maybe it's not a certain struggle that we're dealing with, but something that's holding you back from having a deeper walk with God. And if that's you, God is wanting to bless you and give you an experience that you've never seen before. And I can totally testify that once I committed myself to God, he's definitely brought me to a place where I could not have imagined, and I am so happy. But will you surrender to God? You know, let us love God more than our sins. It's not worth holding on to those things, because sin just leaves us dry and unfulfilled. But God leaves us so happy and filled with his love. And let us trust in him who has bought you and loves you more than you can imagine. And so I pray that we dwell upon these things, and that we would love God more and more until he comes.